Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-pated fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and T. Quiller, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Welcome to episode 169 of
The Inexplicable Dumb Show.
I'm T. Quillen.
I'm John Malden.
Or Oedipus.
Oh, yeah.
How was that? You like that for a little abrupt transition?
Yeah, I just prefer Rex, actually.
Okay, yeah, Rex. Well, it's a good stage name. I mean, in
Oedipus
more ways.
Oedipus Rex.
Yeah.
That'll be my equity name.
Yeah, okay. You could do that, or you could... I'm sure there's probably another industry you could use that name for as well.
Wow. I'm not even going to go there.
Well, you know.
Because... if you know the story of Oedipus Rex, that other industry you suggested is...
Touche. Touche.
Stevie.
So tell us about this week. What are we doing?
Well, we're going to talk to the director of Oedipus Rex. John Holloman stopped by and going to tell us a little bit about the process and say flattering things about me, of course.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Well, let's do it.
Okay.
Want to stay current with The Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater.
Hey, T.
Hey, yes, sir.
Hey, we have a special guest, John Holloman, director of this little thing I'm doing in Nashville, Oedipus.
John, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Wow. So, you and I have already been talking about this, just, you know, a little inside baseball, but tell us the genesis of the project and how, first of all, a lot of people might not know that Nashville has such an amazing Parthenon.
We have the best Parthenon in the world. Out of two... Nashville's is number one.
There you go.
Followed closely by Athens, Greece.
So
an older Parthenon that they blew up accidentally hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, that'll happen.
They're rebuilding it, and it's supposed to be very nice when they're finished, but ours will still be number one.
So better than the original.
Better than the original. What's the so what was the genesis behind this project?
The woman who runs the Parthenon for the Nashville Parks Department, her name is Wesley Payne. She's been the director there for many years. She's also a theater artist, an actress, and a director. Mm-hmm. It's been her dream for a long time to do Greek theater at the site of her Parthenon. People have been doing theater there since they built it, which is over 100 years ago. And just the last few years, she's been working with me. We've produced a handful of plays there. We did a Medea outside the Parthenon on the steps by torchlight.
Cool.
We did a production of Antigone a couple of years ago inside in front of the giant gold statue of Athena. And we also did a production of Mary Zimmerman's Metamorphoses inside the Parthenon.
Cool.
And now Oedipus is up.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you, let's pretend John's not here for a second. Let's just...
Sure.
How is it working with John, really?
He's trouble.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Prima, what's that phrase? Prima donna.
Yeah.
Springs to mind. But,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, I can work with anybody.
Well, you have to be able to when you're in that position. I mean, you know. But you also cast him, though, as Oedipus in a play called Oedipus. I mean, that was your first mistake right there, though.
I didn't realize that his head actually grew that fast, that large. It was like watching the Macy's Day Parade blimp.
It is,
inflated on the street.
He's kind of like the Grinch, except it's his head instead of his heart. You know, really.
Yeah. Well.
A little pre-Christmas
there, reference. Nice, nice. Yeah.
The good thing is that I specialize in masked theater.
Oh, cool. Well, that's...
So putting a piece of plastic in front of his face when he's performing, I think, is something that'll help the show be accepted by wide audiences.
At least it'll be visually pleasing.
True.
That's good.
Well, since you brought it up, let's talk about the masks. What type of masks are you using, and what's your concept behind it?
Let's see, what type of masks? Most of the masks are what we call half masks. Mm-hmm. They don't cover the mouth. Some of the masks are full face masks, but we have a large opening for the mouth because it's a spoken drama. A lot of full mask theater work is silent. It's like mime. Mm-hmm. In this case, some of the masks will resemble the ancient Greek masks, which, you know, we don't actually have any of those existing in the world. They were like made of paper 2,000 years ago, but we have some paintings of them and some sculptures of them, and so we have an idea of what they look like, which is these full-face masks with an opening for the mouth. Very dramatic, very emotional, very passionate expressions carved on the faces.
Cool. Now, this three people, right?
Yes.
Richard Browder
and Hollywood
Jacqueline.
Hollywood Jackie Holmes.
Jacqueline Holmes Springfield.
Now. Yeah.
And so you've inside joke. You've adapted it into a three-person play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now let's talk about that, because if I remember the last time I read Oedipus, there's quite a few more than three people in it.
Well, there's the whole Greek chorus that will not be performing in our production. I've adapted the play, simplified it, made it something that can be afforded to be done, so the actors can all get paid. Which is, you know, the most important thing in theater.
Sure. It is. Yeah.
Number two comes the fact that it's an art form that's been going on for centuries. But number one is getting actors paid.
Right.
To simplify, just make it possible to produce, I took out the Greek choruses and then just started looking at the scenes with dialogue. There's just a handful of scenes that this play is constructed with. And actually, in the original, it's quite likely that only three actors would have appeared in it, and then they, you know, change masks and you come on as another character. When you look at the script, you can tell it's pretty much structured that way. So it's not that terribly simplified compared to the original. There are nine characters. It would have been nice if I had nine actors getting paid. But, you know, everybody needs a challenge, and so we make Richard Browder and Jackie Springfield act in a lot of roles.
No, this is the first time that I've worked in mask, so it's been a very interesting learning experience for myself to take a mask and take what it's giving me and trying to personify that. It's been an interesting challenge.
Cool. And the style, I mean, is it the style of the delivery? Is it a quote unquote traditional piece, or is there something a little more presentational about it? What's the style of are you going classic Greek?
It'll feel classic Greek.
Okay.
It is not what you'd call historically accurate. Like, that is our goal, is to do a historically accurate Greek tragedy.
Okay.
There's just a few people in the world who do that.
Right.
And
right.
We're not qualified. on the other hand, it's certainly not a modern version either. We haven't modernized it. We're not doing it in a realistic style. We're doing it in this kind of faux classical style that you can actually easily imagine. Kind of the Shakespearean actors of the late 19th century, the sense of oratory being a part of a performance, how to deliver a speech, is something that you can see, you know, more and more rarely these days. But the sense of giving a speech, it can be a part of a drama. If you think of the great speakers that you've seen in your lifetime, you can think, oh, and that can actually apply to a play as well, if the actors don't need to seem as if they're having a real life. It is a work of art. Mm. They are a visual work of art. They are, just the style of presentation is a work of art as well. The masks on their face are, you know, created by sculptors. The performance is created by the actor. Mm. You know, the words come from the dramatist, and all that comes together
cool.
in a way that's not realistic at all.
So you could call it neo post modern Greek?
You took the words right out of my mouth. That was exactly what I was going to say.
Neo-postmodern
ancient Greek.
And, you know, when we're performing it in the Parthenon, which is a neo-postmodern Greek pagan temple.
There you go.
See, but it feels like a pagan temple. It has gigantic columns. It has a 30-foot gold-covered statue. Mm-hmm. When you're in there, it wouldn't feel right if we were doing Oedipus and trying to make it feel like, oh, we're going to set Oedipus, you know, in Nazi Germany or something, which, you know, all these things have been done before.
Right, right.
That wouldn't feel right inside this,
true,
this temple. So we want to try to find a way to present it that matches the architecture. That's part of the pleasure.
Now, you also adapted the script, right? Is that, mm-hmm, is that right?
That's right.
So talk about that.
Oh, this is something I've done before. I'm also a playwright, so I don't have any qualms about picking up somebody else's literature and hacking it to pieces. It's just, oh, I need to, you know, I have this pile of lumber. I can make a table out of it. I picked up an old translation by some fellow. It was easily found online. He had translated for Harvard Classics 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up this fellow's version of it where he tried to translate it word for word, and then he turned it into this pseudo-Shakespeare by making it all iambic pentameter,
mm-hmm,
so that in, you know, the English language, it would sound nice and classically. And I just took that, you know, and just said, okay, I need to cut the choruses, and just checking them quickly to make sure that there isn't anything dramatically that happens there that I absolutely need. And then it's a matter of looking through it, going, this is how much time I want the script to take. These are the scenes that have, these are the parts of the scenes and the conversations that have as, you know, wide a dynamic range as possible.
Hmm.
Making sure the climax is there, making sure all the information is there, making sure these are words that the actors can actually say.
That's a trick.
I was successful 92% of the time.
Yeah, I have full appreciation for that because I can't count the number of times epistemological. See, I can't, mm-hmm, even say it now without doing a double take. Epistemological appears in these audiobooks I'm reading. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, no. So give us the dates. When's the show and.
Friday, October 13th, which is always a...
Well, Friday the 13th, because that's always an auspicious day.
Right. Yes. Right. Okay, yeah. I laugh. Sorry, try it again. So, when are the shows again?
November, Friday the 13th, 14th, and 15th. And then a couple days, and then 19th, 20th, and 21st, I believe.
Thank you. I never look.
No, I've got that 13th grained in my brain while I'm...
As a director, it's not that important to me,
right,
when I have to have all the lines memorized. But
oh, look, there's an audience here tonight.
What? Well, I mean, I think it's also interesting if we can bring up that he's also he got rid of the chorus, but then he's kind of he's introducing sort of a historical. We kind of break out of the masks and in the slot of the chorus, I guess you would, mm-hmm, say, we talk about the history of Greek actors and theater. And,
oh, cool.
So it's educational as well as entertaining, hopefully.
So it's a pseudo quasi neo postmodern educational Greek theater thing.
Lecture workshop.
And now we're the online element. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes, yes, good. Right.
Good. And it's free and open to the public. Yes.
No,
not free.
No. Okay.
No, and you're not welcome.
Okay. Well, then that will.
So it isn't exactly open to the public.
Well, okay. I don't count as the public.
But you can get tickets. You can go to the Parthenon. You can call the Parthenon and reserve tickets for yourself.
Cool. And it's inside the Parthenon.
It is.
So this one's the one that's inside. Okay.
Yes, it is.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming in and talking to us, man.
It's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me. I had no idea why you asked me here today.
So John just sprung this on you?
Quite a surprise.
John sprung? Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, yesterday at rehearsal. I'm like,
hey. Nice.
By the way.
Well, you did well under pressure.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. If you love The Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
All right, so that we want to thank John for stopping by
and
saying all those lovely things about the show,
mm-hmm,
and me.
I love the fact that you sprung the interview on him. He had no idea what he was doing until he sat down in the chair.
Well, I learned my journalism from Fox News, so. I didn't tell you I did an internship.
Interview, now!
An internship there?
No.
Well, I didn't.
Explains it.
But.
Explains a lot, though.
But I wanted to.
Well.
No, I didn't. But, I mean, I could have.
Had you wanted.
Right, and could've. Applied.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
And yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, it's a shame.
Well, you know.
Just a downright shame.
I'm hoping to use this reel as a demo, hopefully, you know, in the future.
Yeah, I think real winner.
Yeah, so you never know. You never know.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So give us the dates of the show one more time.
Friday.
Yeah, there it is. I know. Sorry,
Friday,
I didn't mean to do that
to you. 13th. 14th and 15th, and then the 19th, 20th, and 21st. Tickets are available through the Parthenon website, where you can call the Parthenon. And it's 15 for adult, 12 for students, I believe.
Cool. And just check the Inexplicable Dumb Show website for links to the Parthenon website and the telephone numbers to call.
Yep.
Cool. Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at Magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.